Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday,
We can't
March
hear you and
7th.
you're muted.
I'm muted.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, March 17th, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. And the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. And I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. We would also request everyone to please stay on mute unless you're speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. And it's helpful for people who are listening on the phone calls and when people listen to the audio afterwards. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this call. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name and then your comment because it helps the interpreters doing their job well. When people are listening on the phone calls, it's also helpful for them to know who's the speaker. And when somebody listens to the audio of the meeting, it's helpful for them to know who were the speakers at the time. We do have a wonderful presentation coming up this afternoon. So I would just request the presenters to please describe your presentation in detail for the convenience of our members who are blind or have low vision, as well as our members of the public who may be attending this meeting. I just want to remind everyone that, as always, we will have a section for public comments. Any members of the public who are joined in this meeting can share their public comments if they wish to do so. We do allot 2 minutes per speaker, and we will have a timer to show the time as well. We practice this to make sure that if we have a number of speakers who would like to make comments, everybody gets an opportunity to do so. And at this point, Paul Samaford, I see you have joined. So I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right. We already went through attendance and everything, right?
Oh, thanks for the reminder. I take that back. I'll read the agenda and then we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. And before I start reading the agenda, I'll share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment so that I can display the agenda on my screen. Okay, and if somebody can confirm that my screen is visible, I would appreciate that.
I can see it.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, so as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Samaford will go through review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We do have reports, including commendations, customer service, and outreach, if any. We do have Jordan Holt. She'll give us an in presentation on Metro Access performance. The committee members had an opportunity to visit the call center, Metro Access call center, and we will have a discussion on post site visit that will include Mr. Blake and the committee members. Mr. Blake will provide an update about Metro Access service. The committee also had an opportunity to look at the next generation vans for the second time. And we will have a post-site discussion about that, including Mr. Blake and the committee members. By 5:35, we plan to start our public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. So I'm going to stop sharing the screen and going to the roll call of the committee members. Please confirm your presence when I call out your name. Susan Bowmaster. Darnese Bush.
Present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present. And I'm on my cell phone, 3058.
Okay, thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangram. Just for the record, Thomas has informed that he may not be able to join a few meetings. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Nuzzo.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. And I just want to state for the record that Doris Ray and Denise Rush may not be able to join a few meetings. Paul Samuelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Actually, Patrick Sheehan has informed that he will not be able to join today's meeting. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Now, Chair Samuelford, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, welcome everybody. We're going to do an approval of the meeting agenda. Are there any additions, changes to this already packed agenda? If not, can I get someone to move the agenda as is?
Move.
All right.
Marcy.
Thank you. And a second, please. Thank you. All those in favor in approving the agenda as is, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstention, the motion carries to move the agenda as is. Next is the prior meeting minutes. Are there any changes, corrections to the prior month's meeting minutes in for February? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to move the meeting minutes as is?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, objections. Okay. It the February Metro Access Subcommittee meetings minutes are approved as is. Next is Ms. Anderson with Commendations, Customer Service, and Outreach and Company.
Thank you, Mr. Semaford. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access. I'm an African-American female, middle age, with today somewhat straight curly hair. and it is my pleasure to introduce MTM. I think Dolan Chittums. Dolan, are you on today?
Yes.
All right. Dolan Chittums, he is with our QA contractor to give us our public comment resolutions from our last meeting and commendations. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums, African-American male, long locks. So the AAC meeting scheduled for February 3rd, 2025 was canceled due to a committee member's attending the WMATA public hearing, resulting in no outstanding public comments. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting held on February 18th, 2025, there were two outstanding public comments. The first comments addressed a member's experience with the customer service provided by the reservations department. The issue was investigated and the customer was informed of the findings and any corrective action taken. The second comment involved a member's concern regarding the reservations agent and suggested the need for additional training. This issue was also investigated, and the customer was updated on the findings and any corrective actions taken. Now, moving to the commendations. In February 2025, there were 395 commendations. Among the recipients, Central Avenue received 42, Challenger received 18, Transdev OCC received 141, Industrial Road received 31, Hubbard Road received 85, Westmore Avenue received 18, MTM received 6, Eligibility received 3, and Ability Ride received a total of 51. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Chittums. Also, just a reminder for the committee, next month we will be doing the Michael Wilson recognition as well as the AAC Safety Recognition Awards in April. So that will be coming up. And Mr. Blake, do you have any items to speak of in regards to outreach since our last session?
Good afternoon, Christian Blake, the Metro Access. No, I have not participated in any, well, there was a community activity, but it was more ad hoc. So I would say no, there were no official community outreach activities since the last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. And Mr. Semelfort, that concludes our report out for this this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next we're going into our agenda. I believe we have Metro Access performance since we had our presentation from an AAC meeting and I invited Jordan to come with her team. We can delve more about Metro Access performance during this meeting and some probing questions. So Jordan, are you, Ms. Holt, Jordan, are you here? And I guess Luis. There we go.
Yes. Hello. I'm here. I'm sharing my screen. Please let me know if you cannot see it. Thank you for the invitation. I'm Jordan Holt. I am a middle-aged white female. Today, my hair is back in a bun, as it often is by the end of a day. I am here with my colleague, Luis Ortiz Sanchez. Together, this team supports Metro Access within Metro with performance reporting and performance analysis. And we provide periodic updates to the board on key performance metrics aligned with our strategic plan. So what I'm going to be sharing with you today is performance results specific to Metro Access on several of these indicators related to service reliability. Mr. Semelfort asked me also to cover some metrics related to how well we're answering calls on time. So we'll have some information about that as well. Oh, let me make sure I can click on here. Okay, so the first measure I want to cover is customer satisfaction. So we think of this as kind of one of the more in terms of the strategic transformation plan. This is kind of what the measure we associate with service excellence goal for Metro Access. So we want Metro Access customers to be satisfied. This is based on a survey. We regularly survey our customers and aggregate and tally or summarize those results on a quarterly basis. So what you see here are results for the period, the 3 months of October, November, and December of 2024. We are currently in the middle of the next quarter. So in a few months, we'll be able to see how satisfaction has changed. Looking at the time frame, January, February, and March. But when we look at this, what we call the second quarter of the fiscal year, which again covers the months of October, November, and December of 2024, we did see a decrease in customer satisfaction of Metro Access customers. That dropped to 71% of customers said they were satisfied with their most recent trip on Metro Access. This is below our target of 79%, and below the performance where we were in Q1 and kind of roughly where we've been for the past 2.5 years. When we look at, why customers were less satisfied with the service they received, it is driven by an increase in late trips. Customers also expressed a slight decrease in the quality of service by dispatch. However, most, over 80% said it was easy to make a reservation, and over 90% felt safe during their trip. We'll have a bit more detail in the next few slides about this increase in late trips. The data that we track on-time performance do indicate that we did see a drop in on-time performance or an increase in late trips over this period, which tracks with what we have heard from the satisfaction survey. I do want to clarify that these customer satisfaction results are really asking about the experience on the dedicated service or the vehicles that have metro access on them. It doesn't take into account customer experience with trips that were delivered by Abilities Ride partners. That is something we are exploring about adding to our satisfaction survey so we can get some better feedback about customer experience with Abilities Ride providers, because we do know that's an increasing amount of trips are delivered by those partners. When we look at on-time performance, we have been missing target so far this fiscal year as we've transitioned our contracting model to one main contractor. What we saw kind of we saw performance kind of reach its lowest point so far this fiscal year in November, at less than fewer than 85% of trips were on time in November. That rebounded in December as well as in January. January is not shown on this line graph, but I do call out the performance in a box here. So January, we saw 89.6% of trips were picked up on time. Again, this like the customer satisfaction, this refers to trips delivered through our dedicated service or the vehicles that say Metro Access, does not include Abilities Ride trips. I'm pleased to say I think that this increase that we started to see in December and then that was really sustained in January, where we're moving back closer to our target of 92%, is a result of some actions that the Metro Access team has taken with our contractors. One was opening a new garage location in Montgomery County in December. This enabled kind of some of our vehicles didn't have to travel as far to pick up customers, which decreased late trips. So that was good. We saw that in the data. We also added one additional service delivery contractor in January. I believe that has also contributed to that improvement in performance. Also, another thing we look at is percent of our scheduled service that was delivered. So we want to, know of how many trips that were booked on Metro Access, how many did we actually deliver in a given time period. The good news is we deliver almost all of our trips. On an average day, we have 2,500 trips on dedicated service that were scheduled, but we miss fewer than 70. So that's good. However, that comes out to about 97.5%, which is not the target we've set. We've set a very strong target for ourselves. We want to deliver 99.25% of service. So we are not quite meeting that. And I think this is correlated also with some of our on-time performance challenges. What we see is one of the main reasons that we may not deliver a trip is that the vehicle arrived too late after the pickup window, and a customer said, "I no longer need this trip." And that's kind of the most frequent reason we miss trips. So anything we can do to improve on-time performance and decrease late trips will improve our service delivery. And so we see similar trends here where performance fell to its lowest point in November. And then after some of those changes that we began with our contractor in December, it started to improve and kind of kept at that level in January. Lastly, I wanted to cover some measures related to call response time. I have a slide here that shows three measures. One is kind of overall telephone response time, and then two sub-measures. So we also look at response time to reservation calls, calls for reservation, and response time to where's my ride calls. You see here, for all of these measures, we've set a target for ourselves to have 95% of calls answered within 2 minutes. So if something is on time, it was answered within 2 minutes. You see that we were struggling for several months. We so far have not met target overall this fiscal year, but did meet target for reservation response times in January. So we have seen some, we saw marked improvements in January for all three of these measures. So in January, for overall telephone response time, 94% of calls were answered on time. For reservations response time, 95% of calls were answered on time. And for where's my ride, 93% of calls were answered on time. So that was a big improvement from, in all cases, from where we were in December and moving in the desired direction towards our target of 95%. I think also brought up was so we do will be launching a quality assurance program where we'll be reviewing kind of the performance of the call center when responding to different calls in these areas. We recently updated the plan, our Metro Access staff recently updated the quality assurance plan. And that plan required we had kind of a probationary period for our contractor and some retraining during that period. So we are just kind of ending that probationary period and we'll be starting to ramp up that quality assurance program. So we'll also be tracking how many of the calls that were answered met our standards. And what types of behaviors need to be redressed, addressed through retraining and coaching. So don't really have a lot of information so far because that program is just getting up and started, but wanted you to be aware that that is something that Metro Access works with our contractors to monitor. Finally, wanted to close out with a few of the things that we've been doing to improve the call center experience. These are kind of just getting started. So we do expect to see, kind of hope to see sustained and continued improvements here. One of the things was to implement sensitivity training. The second was to provide some detailed coaching and development best practices to dispatch supervisors. A third is to start sharing performance management best practices for dispatcher supervisors and managers. So give them tools to monitor their staff and hold them accountable for meeting, for example, the timeliness standards that we've set for answering calls. And again, increase monitoring and coaching of the lowest call quality performers. So we know that this is an area that drives customer satisfaction, And so have been focused on identifying opportunities that we can take to improve here. And that concludes my presentation for today, but happy to answer any questions.
All right. Hello. This is Paul Somofor again, Jordan. So I do have some probing questions here. As we relate it back to the issue where you just spoke to about the call center, some of the things I would like to, well, we would like to know is, as quality assurance is looking in at the quality of these calls, things that you might want to consider is when customers call in, could their complaints about dispatch be when they call, "Where's my ride?" specifically, the timing of the call, having to wait, does that add to their dissatisfaction? Or could it be the fact when they do reach an agent, how that agent addresses that person? You're dealing with customers who might be, have a little stress on them. And I found some of the best agents who spoke to me, gave me their name. Obviously they had their sensitivity training because they were, tell me, "Hi, how you doing?" That type of thing. "How can I help you?" Versus, "What's your client ID number?" Because you can tell when you get on the phone when someone says, "What's your client?" You don't even give, they know your name, because you have to tell them, but you don't know the name of that agent, which is part of the script. Things like that, and talking to the customer in such a way, they feel valued, that type of thing. That hopefully during quality assurance that's addressed. Another thing suggestion would be, is my question or needs being met by that same single person? Or does it feel like, when I get off this call, nothing hasn't been resolved? Or you put me to another person to speak to, and like maybe a supervisor, and I'm not able to reach that person in a sufficient amount of time. I might be dissatisfied with that call. Just things to think about.
Thank you. Those are good points. I've written them all down.
I'm just saying, things from my own, personal experience as a customer, as I'm, going and talking to the current call center staff. There's some good ones, and the best ones are the ones where you get a sense when you talk to them on that phone, oh, they've handled my issue. They understand. They get the issue solved by that same person. I don't have to be moved on to maybe a second or a third. As Mr. Blake said, it should be handled. If it's done well, it's handled by that person. It doesn't have to be elevated. And the customer, feels valued. Just the style of how you answer the call to help, understanding the sensitivity, who the type of customers we're dealing with, and it's telling me, "Tell me your name," that type of thing, and not like, "Oh, okay, they're just trying to get me moving and then off, but I don't feel my issue's been resolved." And then I may have to call someone again because you're not responding to my issue. Because sometimes I may feel like, "Oh, this agent is not able to resolve my issue, so I need to hang up," and then get to an agent, "Oh, okay, they got it solved. But I shouldn't have to go there."
Those
That
are
could
great
be a
points.
source of dissatisfaction. So any other members of the committee who want to comment on this topic here, I have questions for Jordan.
This is Anu, Chair Samaford. We I'm
Yes.
not seeing any hands up at this point.
None from committee members?
None.
I guess I gave a summary of what that dissatisfaction could possibly look like in the customer's eyes. Okay. Going once, going twice.
I have a question. I keep.
Oh, go ahead, Darnice.
Well,
I was about to say about time. As it relates to
actually, as it
I
relates
know
to.
you have something to give. Go ahead, Darnice.
Okay. I liked your comments, and this is the follow-up with your comments.
Okay.
In terms of the sensitivity of the person receiving the call when you call that. Because you know that I have problems quite a few times with the vehicle being late or not coming in on time. And one thing that really does aggravate me is if I'm calling back the second or third time for the same trip, and the person says, what is your number and may I help you? Like, I mean, do what I want to know is, does the person answering the phone have any idea of how many times you called back? Like if you like if the driver is late and I've called at least two times, does the person answering the phone know that?
Or
So
better
if
yet,
they,
if oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
if yeah, if the person is Christian Blake, if the person or persons who have called prior to the properly noted the conversations, then yes, the answer is they would have that additional information. But even if they have that information, they have to read it and have to look at it. And so this just goes with training. And unfortunately, in the world of call centers, I've learned over the years here, there's a lot of turnover. You train some good folks, and pretty soon they're moving on to other things, and then you're bringing on others. So we're committed to continuing to train, to continue to bring in good people, and even, we're here to help everybody grow and develop. And I will just say, so to answer your question, Ms. Bush, yes. If the proper documentation and notation is there, the answer is yes. Person reads it, the answer is yes. But sometimes you may have to, and I know it's frustrating, have to repeat what you've said earlier. And again, we're committed to people. We love people, and we're going to continue to work with the contractor to bring in good people and train them up. I would offer this. It's not an excuse or no. We have tried to take some of the emotions, and by listening to just like your conversation right now, we have tried to put in tools that are not emotional, that give you just the straight facts and give you the information in an honest, straightforward, digitized way. But of course, a lot of the customer base has tried to reject that. We're going to come back and we're going to keep pushing it. But I hope that at least a number of our customers will embrace the tools because, as I keep saying to customers all the time, I love people. And our efforts at bringing in additional tools has nothing to do with reducing the workforce. I want to make that abundantly clear. Abundantly clear. Nothing whatsoever to do with reducing workforce. But many, many, many of your transactions are basically information that you don't need to necessarily speak to a human being to get. Now, Ms. Bush or Mr. Semaford, or like somebody called me the other day, oftentimes if your trip is excessively late, which is what, if your trip is just late, period, obviously we don't want that. The information that a human being can give you, whether that human being is a class one dispatcher or the dispatch manager extraordinaire, is the same information. And unless they're going to actually move a trip and do something that a lot of times they can't do, otherwise they're going to create the same problem with elsewhere. A lot of that information really can be given to you, the customer, through a tool that is not necessarily a human being, if you get my drift. So we just hope that I want customers not to ever feel frustrated when speaking to a member of our staff. And I've always said to the staff, there is absolutely no reason you should ever give shade to a customer because they're the ones being impacted, not you. You're sitting in an office, or in some cases, you're sitting at home. You're reading off their information. If the customer is frustrated, you should understand that, be sympathetic with it, give them the information, and just try to be as nice about it and ask them for their patience. But oftentimes, you could call me, Ms. Bush, and all I could do is call and say, where is that vehicle at? Can we find another vehicle? Probably no at this point, because otherwise they probably would have already done so. But what I'm just trying to implore is that we're committed to holding this contractor accountable, bring in good people, train the people up, and have them speak and communicate very nicely and professionally with all our customers. But I also want to just say to a lot of customers, most times, not all the time, but most times you communicate with Metro Access, you probably can get the information without ever speaking to a human being. And I just
So
hope
what?
some folks start to embrace that.
Well, I really don't call back unless they haven't come.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So here's my question. So what if
they introduce themselves, it does help when they introduce themselves and say, how may I help you? Because they know why you're calling.
Correct.
After you repeat the time that you...
Is it possible that when a customer calls and they already, you know, can they start, how can I help you? And then say, oh, by the way, I see your trip is late, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So they at least acknowledge that to the customer, your trip is late. Let's see what I can do in resolving this issue. Is maybe if we can move towards that, if the agent, obviously, when they pull up your account information and see that your trip is already late for whatever reason and acknowledge that at the front end, along with how can I help you? And then maybe moving in that direction would help ease things and into the conversation.
From this, we definitely could commit to looking at the script and maybe adjusting the script in that regard for sure.
Yes. And I think that would help with a lot of those calls where the customers already know I'm late. Like someone like me, oh, I have a tool. The only time I'm calling is, oh, I already know it's projected to be late or this, that, or the other. And, you know, if you already can see that, then, you know, and acknowledge that, then we can take the conversation another way where the customer's very empathetic and, you know, and the relationship is empathetic all the way around. And we work on that resolution.
I think we can work on that. And also, I mean, just don't want to, you know, keep pushing the same point, but we can train the digital assistant to be, to say that as well. So my whole point is that we want to save a lot of the conversations for those trips that really, really require that interaction and is not just a, your trip is 10 minutes away, your trip is 15 minutes away, because oftentimes, it doesn't just end there. And then you want to speak to a supervisor. And again, the supervisor in a lot of cases can't do much more with the vehicle because there are those vehicles out there where they are. If you ever get frustrated in this bush, you know me. I've always said this to you all the time. When you have to call back a second and third time, call me.
Well, usually I'm very patient, but it's just that, you know, when I get on the third call or something like that, or they change my pickup time, I do get a little frustrated.
All right, I see Sandy's hand is up.
And then one other tool we want to say, and when you're calling in, before you ever call in, for you know, we have the app as well that gives you the estimated arrival time. Now, if you see that your trip is running late, of course, a lot of customers are going to call and say, why is my trip late? Then that becomes a different type of conversation. But we're trying to give you the tools where you don't have to be just tied to just the Metro Access and your pickup time. You know the estimated pickup time. You know if it's running late. If you want to, you know, double check that, you can call in and there's a digital assistant ready to tell you that, yeah, unfortunately, Ms. Bush, your trip is running late. If you further want to then speak to a human being, I think that's very fair. But I'll just say it a lot of times again, and we'll be talking about something a little later, I believe, with Ms. Sandy. A lot of times our hands are tied in terms of where a vehicle may be located, why it's located, where it's at, the amount of time it's going to take to get to you. But the information that we share is open and honest, and it can be shared by a human or a tool. And we just want to reduce some of that frustration you may have when speaking with a human being who still perhaps need a little more training and understanding that the customer has a right to be frustrated. We just need to try to understand their frustration and help them, you know, just get through this moment of a late trip pickup.
Yep. And I will tell you the tool, the my transit tool, and I've said it publicly, for one who uses it every day, it is a wonderful, very powerful tool. When I call, say, well, this is looking like it's 20, 30 minutes late. Is that correct what I see from vehicle such and such number? And then so what are my options? And that's how I approach it because it empowers me to do that. Sandy?
Okay, I think this is an appropriate time to bring this up. So flip it around the other way in terms of customer satisfaction for somebody who doesn't have the smartphone, doesn't have the My Transit app. At what point can you reach out? Can the call center realize that a trip is going to be 15 or 20 minutes late and reach out to the customer and say, let's work out an alternative solution?
That's a great idea. And we've been doing that with a number of dispatchers. Now we're trying to create a situation where every trip, we're doing nearly 9,000 trips a day, most days, 8,000, between 8,000 and 9,000 a day. And oftentimes what happens, you're watching, like you see that picture of that van on there, that van is running a route. And the dispatcher is monitoring several of these routes, not necessarily each and every individual trip, because you can imagine there are much fewer routes than trips. But we're trying to get to a point where we can have one human being monitor each and every trip that's scheduled every day. That's an enormous task. I can tell you right now, nobody in the country is doing that unless you're running like little town, South Carolina, with five trips a day. Nobody's monitoring every single trip with a human being. We're trying to figure out a way to get there. But one of the things we've been doing with this little, what do you call it? I would say a little test group, test phase. When they provide an update, we're communicating. I may suggest to them, please give the customer a call and make them aware that the trip is running a little late. And that is shown to them, well, showing the customer, excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me. It might be a customer calling me, but it shows the customer that we're watching their trip and we care about their trip and we're trying to find another solution. Are you open? But I think it's also showing the team members how customers do respond much more positively when there's outreach as opposed to us waiting for the bombardment to come in and then. To some people, their guards go up and it becomes this kind of contentious conversation. So Sandy, we are absolutely trying that, and we want to see much more one-on-one communication between our customers and the dispatch team, but in a proactive way from our end to the customer, not just the other way around.
So, is that something that could be put in a customer's profile? I do not have a smartphone app to easily track my ride so that it's brought to the attention of the call center when trying to manage rides, that managing those rides, keeping an eye on the lateness of rides for those customers might be prioritized. Just a thought.
No, that's a great idea. Now we can't prioritize individual trips and individual customers just on the record. Now, one
Okay.
thing we do say is that customers, and there are plenty of customers who tell us no cell phone, landline, and no phone out of order. So we always encourage customers to put information in their pickup or drop-off comments to help us understand their needs, whether it's the phone, an additional phone number, an emergency contact. Where at on the building side they're going to be picked up. Whatever information a customer believes can help us serve them better, we encourage customers to put that information in their pickup or drop-off comments.
All right, I see Sarah's hand up. And then
Actually, I
I'm
had
about to get to
lowered it.
somebody's other.
Hi,
Oh, okay.
Sarah. Yeah, I had lowered it because Sandy asked largely what I was going to suggest. Like, is there a way to flag customers? I understand why you can't prioritize people per se, but is there a way to flag people that so they know that you need to call them? And that, or is there an automated system that flags when particular routes are running or drivers are running really late. I mean, so that you're not trying to keep your eye on 9,000, and that sounds insane. But if the system is flagging things for you, then that should let you know, okay, these ones are running late.
And we have a list of trips that are running late. Absolutely. Now, what we're talking about here, that we're saying customer informs us they do not have a cell phone, so we should call them. Again, that should be noted in a pickup and drop-off comment, because even if that's in there, that doesn't necessarily automatically mean there will be a phone call from the dispatch. I don't know if that's always feasible, but we do track the late trips. We see them. I can look at right now and see if somebody's trip is running late or if anybody was leaving this meeting. Let's say if we were still at Jackson Graham, and I could tell if anybody's van is running a little late. But when we start saying, okay, this customer doesn't have a cell phone, so we should, because a lot of customers, even with the cell phones, aren't using the app. So we just want to make sure that what we're doing for one customer, we do for all. And that's where certain things have to be, we have to just be careful about it. But we do, again, encourage everyone to put comments in their pickup or drop-off comments to inform us.
So we need to move on, Darnice, last comment, and we have to move on to the next topic because we got two site visits to kind of debrief over
Okay,
and then
mine is,
updates.
this is very brief. Is there any way that you can let the customer know if this late because of a shared ride or the direction from where the shared ride is coming from, if that's why the person is late?
I'm gonna let
The
Mr. Blake
shared
answer that
ride,
question.
yeah, I wouldn't say a shared ride is the cause of why your trip is late, because we are a shared ride public transportation service. So if somebody, let's say, inserted a trip and that caused a delay, which is possible because if somebody doesn't pay attention and just puts a trip on a route, that can create an issue. But to it's that's a little subjective, if you will. It's if that if a vehicle was because it was in an accident, a customer got sick or ill on the vehicle and it had to come out of service, or it's not moving in traffic, those are very objective measures that you can say this is why a vehicle's late. To say it's late because if it's a shared ride, I wouldn't blame the shared ride. I would blame somewhere in the scheduling process.
But what about if you just say how many miles away the person is? Maybe that would better, it would make me understand better how close in time my vehicle would appear. Like if they
I
say they're
think
5 miles away, 10 miles away, 2 miles away.
I will
The app
say on
does that as well.
the app does that as well, because I can see that
And
if you
again, I
choose to
don't
use
think
that.
it's a problem for a human agent or a digital agent to share that information as well. Generally speaking, we've been ordained, if you will, in this business to talk about minutes. And that's where the whole 10-minute thing came from for many years, but we've gotten away from 10 minutes, and it's just giving you an estimate at that time. But just keep in mind, it's just like if you're driving your own personal car, when you
Trash.
leave your home, your destination is 23 minutes away. You say, oh, I got time. But by the time I get there, because of traffic or something
Trash.
that has happened, all of a sudden now I'm paying cover charge because I didn't get there in 23 minutes. So we give you the best estimate at the moment you call, but things even in those brief moments can change. And
All right, we
sometimes it's under our control, and we should do better by monitoring the resources and making drivers move on. Sometimes it's not in our control, but overall, and that's why Ms. Jordan and her team watching what we do and advise as well, because in all of and for all those type of circumstances, and we take responsibility for the overall paratransit performance. And we don't have OTP on the good days and OTP on the bad days. It's just one big month of OTP in one whole year, and we're responsible for all of it.
All right. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much. All right, so let's move on to the next topic, the call center visit. I was so excited I could not go on that date. Maybe hopefully another date will be offered to the AAC. But for those who went, who would like to share what happened at the call center last Thursday? Or Mr. Blake, you wanted to go over, or Ms. Anderson, kind of an overview of what was done?
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
We'll listen to the customers first and then respond to any question or concern.
So, Ms. Coles, did you go last week?
Well, Terry, do you
was
want
there
to
any
give them an
hands?
overview? Maybe that'll generate the conversation.
Audio now unmuted.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was trying to mute. I did. It was very fruitful. It was nothing like I imagined. I imagined them being at a long table and everybody sitting at the operator. But it was very nice accommodations, and the tour was very enlightening.
Anything you wanted to share about the tour itself? Any takeaways?
Well, the issue I had was Uber related because they
Okay.
took me up 15 steps and I found out he really took me in on the side entrance because there was another entrance that was just straight in entrance.
Okay.
So
So nothing
that,
about the tour itself. Okay.
well, the tour itself, like I said, was very informative. The environment seems very cozy, and we didn't, meet anyone individually, but it was, I was glad I went.
Okay. Philippa.
Hi, are we going to talk about Uber at all, or should I interject something now?
We're gonna talk about it when Mr. Blake talk there's a
Okay.
this is
Okay.
just strictly about the call center experience.
Okie doke. Sure. Okay.
The
Thank you.
tour. All
All
right.
right. Bye-bye.
So, Chair Summerford, what did
Yes.
we have? Steve, Kaffin, Donnie's Bush, Sandy Newsell, they Enrico Dancy. They were there at the along with
Okay, so I'll let them come. Okay, go ahead.
and Tawan Farmer. They were there at the site visit. So Steve, Donnie's, and Sandy had their hands up. And go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a very impressive presentation and a very impressive walk around, and in a very hospitable morning. I think I and everyone who walked in was treated with such warmth and gratitude for being there. And we started off with a presentation by Grover Parham, I think his name is, who's the general manager of Transdev. And he talked to us and answered questions for about 15 minutes. And then we did a walk around. And some of us spoke down into individual areas of interest, and most of us stayed within the confines. And we walked pretty much the entire area. What impressed me first was the complexity of the screen. This is not an easy job. I hear about it every month, at Metro, during our meetings. But seeing is truly believing. That screen to get filled out so that the service can be appropriately rendered is a challenge, and it's an achievement. And the other thing I the other the other thing that I was impressed about was there are three sizes of screens that depending upon the user, that person can have an extremely large screen with oversized letters, the regular screen that that we see on most desktops, and some people were using laptop screens. And so I thought I was impressed by the accommodation to the individuals. It's a it's a wonderful space to work in. It's spacious, it's windowed, it's the kind of space that you want. When you're dealing in a in the realm of customer service. And So I was just very impressed, and I need to thank Mr. Blake for helping arrange transport from the Greenville Metro to get me there, and personally driving me back to the Metro on the way back to where he was going. So thank you very much. Thanks.
Hey, Anu, who's the next person?
Next is Darnese, and then Sandy, and then Tawan.
All
So,
right.
please go ahead.
Okay. The follow-up with Steve, it was everybody was just so very nice and welcoming. But that's not unusual because they're very nice anyway. But it was almost like oh home because we hadn't seen each other in such a long, long time. There were a lot of hugs too. But I like the space because the space is almost like divided up into cubicles. You do have a little elbow space. You're not really setting up on top of each other. I appreciate that. And it's a nice, uncluttered, light environment. And it has slogans like the old building did, like pep talks painted on the walls. Like, well, I don't remember any of them by heart, but it's stuff like enjoy your day or good work is best work or something like that. And everybody was really nice to me. It was very accommodating because I need to sit down sometimes. They were very sensitive to all our different disabilities. They had people that would walk around with if you had low vision or whatever. They had people that told us about the big screens that it could magnify up to 300 times. So that's really good for, different workers. And they just talked about all the accommodations and they answered all of our questions. We had so many questions. And they offered us lunch and refreshment. And we enjoyed it. And maybe we'll go again. Thank you.
But so what I hear is a big takeaway from you is not only the environment, but the fact that when I remember from the previous call center, they had those words of encouragement, especially when you're going through a stressful work environment for people to see to kind of keep the morale up and keep them in very positive and their energy going as they're dealing with customers.
That's true. It was.
All right. Thank you. Next person, Anu.
Next is Sandy, followed by Tuan.
Okay, Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy. So, yes, everybody was very polite and everything. But a couple of questions that I tried to ask, and I wasn't sure I got a clear answer. Since Transdev is a contractor to WMATA, I was not 100% clear on how much accommodation for hiring people with disabilities. Yes, they did have very large screens and the software that's built into their Dell computers that they use can magnify and enhance, do color enhancement. And I know that for regular text, the software that's built into a Dell computer these days can read simple text out loud, but I wasn't clear whether a person who was blind could be accommodated to do this job of scheduling rides or sorting out where is my ride if people call in for that. I was also, each person wears a headset with earphones and a microphone. And the headsets can amplify sound to help people with some hearing disability, but I also was not clear whether they're looking into software to accommodate people who are deaf, turning text into, or turning, excuse me, turning speech into text so that a deaf person could work there. And also I actually got lost. But somebody very, very sweetly did help me find the restroom. I didn't see the sign on the wall, but the restroom did not have an automatic door opening accommodation. And it didn't look like there was a stall inside that would accommodate wheelchairs. So they do have a ways to go to make the facility accessible to people with some disabilities. And it's my understanding that they're willing to hire people with disabilities. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Blake, but I would have thought that that would be written into the contract with TransDev working for WMATA.
Well, there is no discrimination, and we do encourage people, especially Metro Access customers, to apply for work with all of our contractors, but especially the call center. I know I have not personally intervened, but I personally encourage several people to apply for jobs, and some of them have been hired, and we continue to do that. So, yes, in terms of reasonable accommodations, TransDev is subject to the same laws that every other employer is. And I'm aware of accommodations they have made for employees. And when we talk about hiring people with varying disabilities, one of the things, not everybody has to be a phone reservationist, for example. I mean, we use SMS for where's my ride, and I've tried to encourage, in some cases, the use of SMS for booking trips or maybe rebooking trips that may have not gone through correctly. So there are jobs for many people across many different ranges of disabilities as we try to create more and more means of communication for the customers. In reference to the building, because I did look into this, and I have to get more information. Keep in mind, when it comes to facility standards have changed over the years in many different ways. So that building, while the office we walked in looks really new, and they made some this what happens when you put new carpet down and maybe a fresh set of paint. But that building, I believe, is and I think according to the company, the building management, it has met the building did meet the code at the time that it was built. Some of the changes that may or may not occur, that really is between the property owner and the locally regulated licensing boards there in Prince George's County, as well as if necessary, it could be escalated a little higher. But the board, excuse me, the buildings that our contractors work in, we want them to be accessible. We want everyone to be able to have employment with our contractors. And again, I do believe that some of the best employees are those who are Metro Access customers, because either one or two things can happen. They walk a mile in the shoe, and then they understand the challenges and the complications that Steve was referring to. But also, they can help their fellow colleagues once they're in there understand. And you look at me and say, "Are you really going to talk to our other customers the way you would you really speak to me like that?" And help create a level of sensitivity and understanding. So I'm going to continue. And you just reminded me. I'm looking at one member of the committee right now on the screen. I owe them some information about potential employment opportunities with them. We're always here as oversight to support folks asking for reasonable accommodation from their employer. We then follow up with the employer if we ever hear from them, but we always encourage the employees first to deal directly with their employer. And if there's a problem there, bring us in and we can try to help the management understand their roles and responsibilities per the law as we have it at the moment.
Right. Thank you, Tawan.
Sure. Tawan Farmer, I did attend the visit as well, and I had a chance to kind of chat with General Manager Parham, as well as I believe Tanya was her name, who was one of the training supervisors or training leads. They both gave positive, most nearly Most of the conversation was very positive. We got to learn about exactly a follow-up to what everyone has said, where they are, where they're transitioning. I know that Parham, General Manager Parham, talked about how that building had been that portion of the building had been unused for some time, and so I understand there is, transition in anything. I felt a positive feeling that they were in the development stage was still a part of the ongoing process. One thing that really was a standout was a follow-up to opportunities for employment through the reasonable accommodations. And that was when talking with them, they were very open to utilizing the software that they have in place. I discovered that the software that's used in reservations, which was in that building, and the software, same, it's the same software for the Where's My Ride and all of that. So it's interchangeable. So that it looks like they're feeding into what I would call cross training. I think that's not only from the side of the employee is valuable that they do learn the cross train and that there is accessible use of that software. If a person can use software in the public just through the web, and they figure, hey, if I can book a trip out here, let's figure out how we can do it behind the scenes on the official booking software for all their fellow riders. And I think that the overall environment, New Carrollton, Tino. So the overall experience was very positive. I think that they have a reasonably solid setup. Obviously, there are a few moments that they can things that they can improve on. They are, it seems to me, they're looking into doing that. And I look forward to continuing evolution of what they're doing there.
Thank you, Tuan. Vanessa, you had your hand up. Did you have a further comment about the call center visit?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to add, I did speak to the trainer, Ms. Tanya, and she did tell me that there was a couple of totally blind people and that they did use JAWS, which is a software that we use. And so I also wanted to add that it was amazingly quiet in there. It did not sound like a call center. So the acoustics in there was very good, as far as not being able to hear everybody else talking. So it was a good tour.
All right. Any other AAC members? And did the
So,
director want to add any comments about the tour, Miss Anderson? Because I'm sure they were there.
Chair Simon Ford, this is, and I just want to say that Rico Dancy was also part of that group. And if you would like to make any
Oh,
comments.
okay, Rico.
And Ms. Rush, Denise Rush, was able to visit the site center, call center as well.
Did you have any comments about the site visit, Rico, that you would like to share? Some thoughts?
I think it was a great to take a look at the call center, how they run it for people with a disability. I really love it. It was awesome to me. Thank y'all so much.
And like I said, I'm sorry to have missed it when I did it in the past at the old building in Hyattsville and not the current space. I remember it was, a very complex operation from beginning to end for each of the groups where, you had the large screens and how they kind of took us as the AAC from where a call comes in and, the big screen and watching trips and, all the management of that. The only thing I would say, Mr. Blake, is maybe next time, I know y'all did it during a calm hour and it did it before reservations. It would be nice to do it like maybe between at Before call reservations ends at 4:30, like a 3 and 4 hour, like I remember we did before, where we noticed kind of a buildup to kind of see, you know, observe from afar. And I know you're being sensitive to the, you know, staff there and things like that, as to how staff is, you know, reacting during that time where, you know, you sort of get the real, you know, slam of customers coming in and how they are managing that, and you know, and maybe looking for ways to help improve that during those time periods. That would just be my only thought.
So basically, you're saying we put on a show for y'all. We didn't show you
I mean, no, I didn't say
the
that, but I'm just saying,
right.
I mean, it would just be, I just
I'm with
posed the
you.
question, you know,
Yeah.
between that, like, where reservations still
3:30
there,
to
three to four.
4:30 would be a great time for you to see organized chaos. That's what we call it. It's
I didn't say
organized,
those words,
it's busy, and
but
it's
how y'all managed
yeah,
through
it's
that
busy.
challenging period?
Correct. And it is something to behold. So yes, I think that'll be a
Mm-hmm.
great idea. And again, I hope that the takeaway once you see that would be to encourage your fellow customers to call before 3:30, because the lines, as you witness, as you, I mean, you just said it, quiet as a church mouse. Well, that's the perfect time for someone to call and book 4, 5, and 6, 7 trips that day they want. But for whatever reason, and I understand, in the old days, you wait till the last minute because you believe we'll be forced to give you a time. Well, now that we've expanded that scheduling window, that guarantee of your exact pickup time is no longer a guarantee, whether you call at 4:29 or at 8:01. So we want customers, we want more phone calls in those hours that you were there. And I think it would be easier for the customer as well as the staff.
Now, my question is, I don't know if anyone saw during the visit, but maybe management can answer, is when I went to visit, and I know they explained it to us when I did a visit, was do y'all still do like sort of desk audits, checking in on, you know, staff and how they're responding? Like management will go around and do like with reservations or where's my ride, just to kind of get a pulse check of how, you know, the employees are doing. Does that
Yes,
make sense?
Ms. Williams, you want to tell them about
Yeah.
some of those things that we have, the initiatives you have?
Sure. I would defer to, good afternoon, Terrian Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access. I'm African American, middle-aged female, and my hair is in a ponytail today. I would defer to Mr. Parham on specifics with regard to checking in on the well-being of the agents, but I will tell you that we have detailed quality assurance programs in place in partnership with MTM, where the calls are monitored. They're given daily feedback almost. And then Allison's team also goes over and they do side by sides from time to time where they'll sit next to an agent and monitor a call. Now they take that feedback and they give it to the supervisors who then push that down to the agents directly. So they're constantly getting feedback now on their performance. But with regard to their physical well-being or mental health, I'm going to have to defer to the employer to say what things they put in place to check on that. So I'm not sure if he's on the line
Yeah,
today or not.
because
I have.
I know it can be a very stressful
Yeah.
environment, and some of that, you know, you when someone like me calls in, I can hear in their voice, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna be dealing with this type of person, so let me just, you know, deal with this in a different way.
Yeah. So I don't see anyone from their leadership team on with us today, but I'll get that information and be sure to follow up in our next meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
And Chair Simon Ford, this is, I know Steve Kaplan just raised his hand.
Steve, and then we're going to move on to our next topic because I want to make sure I get the customer comment period,
Sure,
their customers.
Paul. Yeah, real fast. Yeah, I'm just following up with what Charin said. All around the area are signs that are very positive, and some are somewhat inspirational, and some are instructive. And I think that leads to, just an additional, I wouldn't say monitoring, but an additional encouragement that whether or not somebody is walking around. I photographed one, and it was entitled "Tips Providing for Providing a Positive Customer Service Experience." And it lists about five things, some of which I'm going to try to do when I make phone calls. But you know, it's not just when a supervisor or a manager walks around. They have that prompting around on the walls all over, and it's positive. So thank you.
And Ms. Williams Hall, I just wanted to know from, like I saw from my last visit, going through the two groups, does, I know reservations still have like a, some, a written script they have to kind of follow and kind of stick to. Is there like written guidance or a, not a script, well, script per se for where's my ride section?
So I want to clarify something. In fact, no one uses a script anymore. We stopped that.
Oh, okay. That's why I asked that question.
Yes, there is no script. Now, there are requirements. So, for example, you'll always hear the same greeting because that's how we brand the call. So you'll always, thank you for calling Metro Access. My name is so-and-so and in reservation. So you will always hear that, or you'll hear, thank you for calling Metro Access. My name is Susie and I work for Where's My Ride, or I work in dispatch. So you'll always hear those aspects.
Audio, but we now
encourage the agents to be themselves, to let their personality shine through. And then while doing that, using dynamic customer service skills. So I will tell you that there is no actual script anymore on either side.
Oh, okay. That is interesting to find out in here. Okay, because I remember there was a days, specifically like reservations, they had a script attached on their computer screen. They must follow to the T.
And so I've gotten away with you it. In full transparency, when I first stepped into this role, one of the things that I heard loud and clear from the subcommittee was that the agents sounded like robots. And so I worked very, very hard to change that. So some people went a little too far sometimes, but nobody sounds like a robot anymore.
No, this is true. Everyone is unique, as I call into both those sections. So I think that change really, really helped change a lot of that culture.
Yeah.
Especially on the reservations. And we just need to move some of that over back into Where's My Ride, and it will get better.
It will.
This is Vanessa. Can I say something on that end, Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, one thing that I noticed in the morning when I'm getting help with Uber, that ending that they say is kind of long, because while they're saying thank you and all this, and this, my Uber rider is coming in, and I really hate hanging up on them because then they'll have to stay their little spiel and thanks for calling Metro Access, and my phone is ringing. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of chiming in on that, because sometimes I have to hang up on them before they finish their spiel.
Ms. Cole, you're likely referring to recapping the call.
No. I'm saying when I'm getting assistance with my Uber trip, and they say I can't open up the link, and they're helping me, which I'm very thankful for.
Sure.
But then while they are giving me their spiel, my ride is calling, or the automatic call is calling, and I have to
hang up.
Them.
Okay. I'll listen for that. I'm not as familiar. Mr. Blake probably knows exactly what you're referring to, but I will pay close attention to that and see what we can do there.
Yeah, and I may tell them I got to go because I got to I got to answer the Uber thing.
They're not penalized if you have to disconnect the call. Do know that.
No. I'm just saying, All right.
Thank you for that.
All right, Darnese, you're the last one because I need to get to the other topic to debrief from our van visit.
Okay, what I wanted to say was that they do have, the way that it's set up, they have the way they have a training room, they have a refreshment room. They actually have space where you can come out and relax and maybe decompress or whatever. Chairs around, like in the lobby, sort of. In the lobby on that floor. Everything is on that floor. And it has it just flows nicely. And they said that they cross train each other. So for booking, it's right next to reservations and things like that. So it's set up well.
All right. Thank you so much for this tour. I hopefully you can offer another one during the busy periods, and I will make it because I would. I'm so sad that I could not make it. I just couldn't get out of work. But going on to our next topic, let's debrief with the next generation vans. So I guess I'll start and say we had some of us came on that tour up to Hyattsville at Transdev. The next generation vans are really, really nice. It's low platform floor in terms of you don't have to crank up a lift. They just pull the ramp out. It's easy for maneuvering in wheelchairs. We don't have to worry about a ramp getting broken and that person has to wait a long time for another van. So that's that takes that all away. This is very spacious when you get in for two large wheelchairs. It gives drivers sufficient maneuvering and room to secure them without someone like me maybe have to get out of my seat or move to another seat because you go up one step and there's four seats in one prototype of a van where the seats are spacious for someone big like me to sit in as a single seat in, and there's sufficient space for me as a ambulatory person to put my limited small amount of items and there's also sufficient room for someone ambulatory like me. I don't have to, as Mr. Blake says, do the wiggle walk to get around two wheelchairs. And there's things to hold on to safely navigate going up and down, and I don't have to interfere with two wheelchairs that are, already secured, like in our current vehicle. So, it's a big plus. And then we saw another prototype of a van where it's the same setup except for the ambulatory section where it would fit four people. Onto the side, I believe onto the right side, one seat is pulled out and they put a tub in there that's permanently affixed where they can put customers' luggage and or items in there securely, as another prototype and option. I'm almost going for that option, voting for, I want to vote for that option to use. It just gives the driver doesn't have to tie down things. If like someone had like loose groceries or whatever, it can just go in that secure tub. And that's more focused time to make sure everyone else is secured instead of securing something else and keep the route moving and on time. So I really liked it. I'm going to let other people who were there comment for it briefly on it. Who else came? I saw on the screen. Were you there, Miss Bush?
Miss Bush was there, Sandy Newsel was there.
So I'm going to let Miss Bush, Sandy, if you can
Okay.
comment for about a minute or so.
Okay. Yeah, the vans are really, really nice. I have one, two, three concerns. One concern is if a person is using a walker, how is it going to be secured? Is it going to be put in a tub? Because right now there's no way to put it against the seat like it used to be where the driver is, because there's no way to secure it on the floor. And there's no back behind the seats, back door entrance to secure it. So I'm concerned about that. The other thing is when a person brings a wheelchair in, if it's a manual wheelchair, it should be noted that it should be backed in because the little flip flap that's usually on the other lift vans that's in the front of the lift that goes up, it's on these new vans, it's on the inside. That flip flap is inside the vehicle. It flips right down. And so if a manual wheelchair comes forward and the driver is not pushing it off, the person is just rolling themselves, they may fall backwards because that flips up. And I guess it'll depend on your weight and all of that, but that's something to check on. And that was two things. Let me see what I forgot. Oh, my third thing is maybe I'll remember it. But all in all, a home run.
I'm gonna let Mr. Blake respond to your concerns.
No, and you're, and I think you were one of, you were the test customer, and we're looking definitely at the most safest and opportunity to load customers on these low floor vehicles. But we have definitely utilized that experience with you and transferring between the two vehicles to inform our safety decisions with regard to the vehicles. And the walkers will be secured through their belts on the floor. So we will secure the walkers as they come on board the vehicles.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
I'd say generally I'm pleased, but I think, since I don't use a wheelchair, I may not be as sensitive to the issues of wheelchair users. I guess it's just the physics of the stability of how to tie down the wheelchairs. The fact that the driver has to screw and unscrew some plates to put in some loop or hook or something in the floor each time a wheelchair comes in and comes out seems kind of time consuming, but maybe that's just standard practice. I can see that not having the little gizmo to attach straps to sticking up when people are walking in and out so that they would trip on it. I can see how that's necessary, but oh my gosh, the drivers would probably love to have a simpler solution there. The seats are comfortable, they're wide. There's enough room for most people to have like a backpack or a carry bag beside them, but the tub does seem like a really nice addition for things that are a little bit looser, like a bag of groceries or something, so that that won't go sliding all over the place. Well, generally, I liked them, but like I again, I might not be the best critic since I'm not a wheelchair user.
I can respond to the securements. It's the exact same securement that they have in place now. It's
Okay.
that the securements, they actually fit into the floor, the metal pieces.
Cool.
On the new vans, they are on the new vans, they are secured right next to the steps they go up to the seated people. So they are actually out of the way. They're not really in the way.
No, there was something else that was, if a wheelchair was backed up to that sort of partial wall, there was something in front of the wheelchairs that the drivers were having to screw and unscrew in the floor.
Was the shoulder harness.
Right. And that
Is
had to
that
be
what it
done.
was?
I think so.
Okay. Because the shoulder harness is next is high up on the window. It's actually on the inside of the vehicle. I can't really describe it. It's next to where the top of the window is. That makes sense.
All right. Anyone else who went on the tour who has a comment before we move on to Mr. Blake and comments about the call center?
This is Anna, Chair Semaphore. We had two more members, but they're not on this meeting, Patrick Sheehan and Denise Rush. And I cannot recall if someone, if any other members came. If I'm missing somebody and you are on this,
Yeah.
please do unmute yourself.
Yep, it was Patrick Denise. So maybe if we get their comments, we can add it to the minutes, that type of thing. If you can solicit that anew, because it'd be invaluable. Because I know Patrick did make comments about where the service animal could be. And I believe I think he believed he said if someone had a service animal, because he was asking the drivers, and maybe this is something for management to figure out. If someone came on with a service animal, just to kind of tell us, will they be able to sit with that animal at those seats? Is there sufficient room? I think that was Patrick's only concern.
The answer is yes. There's the service animal will sit at the feet of their owner, as with all of our vehicles.
Oh, under the
Okay.
seat. There's room under the seat too.
Say one more
Okay,
time.
good.
Okay.
All right.
And the vehicle has, what is it? Computer hookups, UB, which
Oh,
oh,
USB hookups. I forgot to mention that.
the
So that was a
charger.
wonderful addition too.
Yeah,
So you
the
can
charger.
charge your way and keep
Well,
that phone charged. That's wonderful. Okay, so Mr. Blake, I'm hearing
can
nobody
use that
else.
to call the call center. Well, yeah.
Yes,
About no shared ride.
I got an app now. So speaking of which, as we go into call center updates, so now that I can certify, well, okay, most of us can certify that that wonderful for those who want to use it, that My Transit app is a beautiful tool. It's 99% accurate. When you're going to put it out there on the WMATA website, that's available with instructions for customers. Or is it still in testing phases? The only
No,
last comment I said about it was to Miss Williams Hall is if you can include the reservation number, there's a little space at the bottom of that screen attached for each trip. That would be really nice. Because I use that, for instance, when I review the reservation, I'd say, well, I have a tool. I can see you did the trip. It says the appointment time correctly. And the only thing I don't see is a reservation number, and that would be nice. That would be the only thing I would add left if that could be done.
We'll make note of that. And in terms of the app, I don't see any reason why we can't just inform all customers of it. I think we've been doing it as customers have requested, but a notice on the website, we'll work on this before the next meeting to try to have that up and running.
You have just information on how to download it, that type of thing. So I think you did it from this link here. Click on it, something to that effect. However, y'all want to do it on the Metro Access portion of the WMATA website, so customers kind of see that there and how to access it, or maybe link it into the virtual customer guide with the same information also.
We'll do it.
But also other announcements. I'm sure you have updates with the call center.
Now, I think we covered the call center. They still are having to hire up again the training, as we discussed earlier. I was just going to close out the next generation and say we are testing the vehicles live in service now. So some customers have experienced it because we're trying to get additional feedback from the customers and the operators and learn some things before they all kind of go into service. So you may see some out there, but we are testing those vehicles, not necessarily on a full shift anymore. We're just trying to get them out on the road. Let's see what happens, and then we'll bring them back in, evaluate the feedback of customers and the operators, and then we'll let you know when a date certain that all that we have on hand will go into service for Metro Access.
Oh yeah, then there were some committee members with questions about Uber. Now I will say so far the trips that are randomly or selected through the lottery that come out for Uber the night before, most times they come out correctly. Sometimes it now this has cut down significantly because there's been a few rare occasions in which I get links that don't belong to me from one address to another the night before, and I guess the agent's corrected the next day because they'll go and cancel it that mo the next day, the day of service that morning, seeing the error. Hopefully we have cut down on that because I haven't seen that as of late over the past 2 weeks. Some things because I can see from the app I moved to Uber, and there's some of those trips don't get pushed through, but I know enough looking because I see it through the app to call and have them start it. Is there any update also finally of in terms of Uber where it can be pushed through and the digital assistant might be able to, if it sees a trip in Uber, to book it for the customer, because I know y'all been trying to do that for a while or test that out.
Well, we're still working on it. What I think is going to be is the way it's going to work is if you speak to human agent and your trip is late or projected to be late, or in this case, you call in and say my link isn't right or whatever the case may be, the human agent will type in your booking ID number and then the digital assistant will book the Uber trip for you. We had to find something for him to do since you all didn't want to talk to him. But, you know, once you all start talking to him again, he may keep him busy. But that's going to be his job right now, is to have him book the Uber trips when a customer calls in, and the human agent will not have to either themselves manually enter the information, or the one that I know customers dread, hold on for a supervisor, because they're the only ones that can book the Uber trip. Y'all heard that a lot. That's going to go away, and they can just type in a number to the digital assistant. Digital assistant will look at the trip and book the trip in Uber for you.
Because I presume the digital assistant would have your main number, because a lot of the errors where, oh, I didn't get the trip, is 99% of the time, oh, I tell them my number, I repeat it twice, and I'm not getting the link. And it's like, why is the supervisor is able to do it on the spot? Boom. We need to kind of eliminate that if we can. Because if we know it works, it's just
hard enough to figure that out.
Yep. Okay.
It's always good to let the customer, let the agent know your cell phone number. That's always helpful, so that that information, either by the human or by a digital assistant, can be uploaded correctly, and you will get the link that you're expecting.
And I know Philippa had a question for you about Uber, and so did Vanessa. So I'm gonna let Philippa go first, and then Vanessa.
Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, just off the top, I want to say sorry I missed these tours, because they sound wonderful, but I'm still recovering from knee surgery and what Darnice described as the Uber letting her off on a side entrance where she had to climb stairs would not have worked for me at all. But that is the point. I have found out Uber a lot of times continues to try to take me to the back door of these places, or the back building behind. And what I found out is that Uber is not using longitude and latitude. They're using the sanitation system. That is why they keep trying to drop you off where the trash cans are, because half the time my trips are trying to drop me where the trash cans are. So I just wanted to interject that and let you know, so maybe they can address that and let us off at the front door instead of the garbage can door. Thank you.
Okay. And so, just so you know, Philippe, because we talked about this with, and the Uber representative was on at last month's meeting, when we use, or when they use, the longitude latitude as their mapping guideline, all of those errors that Mr. Semaphore were talking about were occurring, and I was getting calls all day, all night. There were a lot of addresses that were just incorrect. They weren't like across town, but they weren't at the front door either. So we made a decision: do not use longitude, latitude. Use use the narrative address that is written: the 100 block, the name of the street, the street type, and the direction, if you're in Washington, D.C., and other places that use direction. That has cut down on the errors tremendously. Now, we can take a look at your particular trips and maybe do some sort of mapping and geocoding for certain addresses that you may share with me that are challenging. But yeah, we had to make the decision that, for whatever reason, their system with the longitude latitude just created so many errors, it was no longer feasible for them to use it for these particular trips.
Correct. Okay. Were they doing that to all their Uber customers or just us?
Now that I couldn't tell you, because
All right. So we do want to, right, Vanessa, make your comment.
Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish,
okay,
please.
Because we have to get the customers, please.
Well, you talked all the first part of the meeting, so I'm going to talk now. Any rate, okay. So I have had trips that continue to drop me at the back door, that continue to try to go down an alley to get to a house that's on the main street. So is the sanitation system, the longitude, latitude? I heard the meeting last week, and there are addresses where I continue to have challenges.
Well, so you sent us a, I'm new at the sanitation. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
I haven't experienced that personally, but again, we're going different places. You send me the address.
Okay. And in fact, I was going to say when I can correct them going if I know where I'm going, but then I had a trip that had to they canceled three times on me because the trip was Uber was taking them down some back alley, not a back alley, but a side alley, and they couldn't find me instead of coming straight to the front of the building, which is on R Street. So I will send you the addresses and I thank you.
Thank
I'm
you.
Done. Okay.
All right.
Yes, I just wanted to add, Mr. Blake, that I am able to log into my links much better now. It's such a joy to be able to do it myself. I don't know what's changed, but one thing I wanted to add is that I have to call like an hour before because they are canceling. I've had up to five cancellations with the drivers taking my trip and then canceling multiple times and even having to ask the OCR for, I mean, the OCC for assistance. So I don't know what can be done about that, but they are canceling an awful lot, especially early in the mornings. And if I can back up to the new generation buses, I wanted to ask, is there going to also be recording of audio and visual on these vans as well?
Absolutely, yes. We're not going away from that. That's been a very helpful tool. So yes, we will be recording on those vehicles. And back to the Uber piece, like I said, in the schools, especially in DC, in particular, but really, Prince George has always been a challenge as well. As you probably know, there are a whole lot more people going to work in the offices these days. And that has just created a whole lot of demand for not only public transit, but services like Uber. Drivers canceled for whatever reason. One day I was
alert.
Out, picked up some Chipotle. The cheese was extremely melted by the time I got back to my destination, if you get my drift. So it happens to all of us, even when those of us who are paying with our own app, it can happen because there's just so much demand out there. It's just part of the Uber experience. I've been saying it all along, that it's just part of the Uber experience. And the idea and the hope, both for a subsidized trip or your own paid trip, is that the convenience and the cost at the end of the day outweigh the inconvenience of first getting inside a person's vehicle.
Customers right now, Anu, are there any customers that need to speak?
So I would remind any members of the public, if you would like to make comments, please either, actually you can just raise your hands. If you're on phone, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And if you are connected through video conference, you can just click on the raise hand icon. This way we will know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can take members of the public in the order. But we may not have, okay, Janice, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I have to make sure I go through the part.
Thank you, Anu. I have five things. I'm going to try to roll through them in my 2 minutes, and then you guys can respond to them. First, I agree with Philippa. The Ubers do try to take you around to the back. I don't know anything about the sanitation, but I've experienced that multiple times. But when I have to take a Lyft on the weekends, because I don't have Metro access on the weekend, Lyft is using a different GPS because they do not have the same problems. And I noticed it like with bringing me home to my destination. I always have to tell the Uber, you know, to go straight through the intersection and not to turn left because they want to drop me off in front of my lawn. So anyway, you might want to check in, what does Lyft use versus what Uber uses for their GPS? The second thing I wanted to bring up was the tour sounds fantastic. I know you can't take a gaggle of people through the call center, but maybe somehow you could have a tour for the public. I'd love to visit the tour, I mean the call center. And a suggestion in number three, when you call the Where's My Ride and you're using the feature to verify a ride or cancel it, can a piece of information be added that lets you know if you have reserved a PCA, you know, wheelchair walker or whatever. Sometimes it's like, what did I add? Did I, you know? So if that information could be included there as well, that'd be great. The next thing I had, oh gosh, I can't read my handwriting. I had an instance where I got the there's no Ubers available, you need to call WMATA. And I called WMATA and I said, I'm ready for my ride. Can you please send me an Uber? But this speaks to customer satisfaction. The agent kept sending, after they asked me where I was and I told them I was at my residence and we confirmed the address, they kept sending the Uber to the destination. And this happened 3 times straight. I had to keep calling back. And then the last thing is, do you know or is there any information you can share with us about the district's budget being cut by $1 billion? Is that going to affect WMATA and the money that they receive from the district and our Metro Access Service? Thank you.
Yeah, I could do the last one first simply because I don't necessarily focus on the overall money. I focus on our budget, and we're going to continue to move forward with paratransit service as is, as well as the alternatives until we're told otherwise. So at this moment, nothing has changed for the paratransit operation nor our alternative services. So we're moving forward there. In terms of the agent, yeah, that probably sounds like rookie agent, may not be a rookie, but rookie mistake, not paying attention and just clicking because they see the customer and the address and it sounds alike. So those are the type of things I'd like to hear about sooner rather than later. That way we could kind of address it immediately with the person at the time. And in reference to Uber versus Lyft, we certainly can share it with them, but I can tell you Uber has a world-class scheduling and directional software. Is it perfect? No, because I don't think any software is perfect. I will certainly share with them that we have some customers who think their biggest competitor is a little better, at least in some regard, and see what they say, but we certainly cannot mandate that they change their software to accommodate us. I just want to make that clear because some people think we have power to change. But we'll share with them what you're experiencing. But again, the easiest way for me to address that, probably in the way Uber would want to address it, is for you to share with us the specific address that these challenges are happening with. I'll forward it to them, and maybe they could do a form of geocoding and quote unquote correct the address.
And then the other thing was the tour and the
general tour. So when we create the special tour just for Mr. Semaford, what we'll do is invite a few others who might have had a chance before to join him so he doesn't feel like or it doesn't look like we're doing something just for him.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. We can do that rather than later.
Oh, great, great, great. And the suggestion, if the information could be added to the Where's My Ride information when you call in?
Well, obviously, I always start by saying there's no reason we can't. Let us have a chance to take a look at that just to see how much of a lift that will be. And we'll make this promise, Ms. Samuel. We'll take a look at it and give it our best shot. And if we can do it, great. If we can't, we certainly will come back and explain why we're challenged with trying to accommodate that.
Understood. That's all I ask. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Mr. Blake, if I can, there's some of her concerns that I wanted to maybe expound on. And that one was the one with the Uber sending it to the to the destination. When I've called, they tell me there's several things that's regarding my trips, and they have to look for things. So it may be that it's a lot of garbage stuff that they're looking through to try to get
Alert. Timers.
your current trip. So I was told that they had to search and find some information. I don't know what all it is. And the last part she was asking, there is an option, because I've checked it before, to see whether or not you have a PCA. Is that what you were referring to, Miss Janice?
Yes.
Because there is, I've used it before. I think it's number three after you check your, if you want more information, it lets you know whether or not they put a PCA on there for you.
Well, I know two is when you hit two. No, when you hit one, you put
Yes.
in your number and you can listen to it. If you hit two, I think you're talking to a live agent. And what is three? Or where's my ride?
Well, I've been in
Spanish?
the past, so I don't know. Maybe these new options have changed, but there was a way that you can tell when you were reviewing your trip, whether or not they added a PCA.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa.
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. Tino wanted to make some comments, so Tino, go ahead.
It should be solved as soon as possible.
About
hotel, I think you just said there. Charles, speak to one criticism of Trump that
I'm sorry, is that Tino trying to make comment or some other member of the public?
Amanda Hillman.
Oh, Amanda. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Amanda.
Hi. Okay.
Obviously said Ukraine.
All right. What's happening? I had sent a long email to you this morning regarding the I guess the opposite typical problem, which is where I am part of the abilities ride. I usually get Ubers and things like that, but I've had a recent medical issue that requires now that I have a walker. So I've been requesting when I make my reservations to have a regular Metro Access vehicle and driver instead of Uber. And I was told that the procedure is that I have to call, because normally I just book my appointments online through the online process. But I was told I have to call in, speak to a live agent. And I'm told that I have to request at that time that I have a regular Metro Access vehicle versus an Uber. And I've done that. And when I get the reservation confirmation, I have an Uber link. And when I call, I'm told that I have to wait till the following morning, the day of the trip, to request that the trip be moved from Uber to a Metro Access vehicle. And when I call in the wee hours of the morning to make the request, then I'm told that I should have made that request at the time that I spoke with the live agent, at the time that I made the request for my trips. And it's like, I feel like I'm just being spun in circles. And I'm told that it's considered a same day trip or change or whatever. And it seems to be such a very hard thing to do. So, what is the correct procedure? And I'm open to whatever suggestions you have or recommendations you can give me so that I'm not stressed, so that the reservation and dispatch people are not stressed in the wee hours of the morning trying to find a vehicle for me.
And I don't have a problem. Well, I won't say I don't have a problem, but if I get an Uber, the issue I have with the Uber is because of the walker, they don't, all of the drivers do not get out of their Uber to help me. I've had the drivers just sit there and look at me. I'm struggling with the walker, trying to get in the car. I have to fold it up. I have to pull it into the car, and they just sit there and look at me. So that's why I'm requesting, if possible, a Metro Access vehicle and driver. Plus, I have to get the walker from my front door down to the sidewalk to meet the Uber or the van. So, what is the procedure for that to happen?
Ms. Hellman,
Yes.
we
Ms.
have
Hellman, I
almost
just
4 minutes,
heard
and
you. I got this in the email. I got it. Thank you. I didn't hear your, I never received any information about your request. Whoever told you the information, they kind of had the story significantly wrong. But I hear you now. So I just went in, looked in the system. I found your ID number and your phone number. And so from here on out, all of your trips will be on a Metro Access vehicle. Is that?
Okay, and once I recover to the point where I don't need the walker again, will that be a problem going back to the abilities ride?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to, because it just seems to be a lot of stress. And I had sent it to the was it ACC chair dot, WMATA.com or whatever. I had sent it just this morning to that email address. So that's why you may not have gotten it yet.
We will double check for that email.
Just want to buy
Yeah.
everyone. It was at 5:57, and we got 3 minutes left, and we lose the interpreter.
We have one more person desiring a
Thank.
reservation. If we can just hear their comment and we can incorporate those in the minutes. So person with name desiring a reservation, if you would unmute yourself and state your comments for the record.
Good evening. I just needed the name of the app one more time.
It's called My
I see
Transit
another
app.
hand.
It's called the My Transit app by Transdev.
My trend by
But if
trans
you,
though. Okay. Thank you guys. Have a beautiful evening. Thank you.
you're welcome.
Chair Summerford, seems like we do not have any additional. Well, Orleans, are you trying to make a
Anu, you ready to make your spiel before we adjourn?
I believe Bill Orleans is trying to make some. Bill, are you trying to make some comment?
Yes,
Go ahead.
tomorrow at 2:30, there's a high
Your reception is breaking up.
meeting of the Washington Suburban Transit Commission, WST. Anu, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Tomorrow at 2:30, there's a meeting of the Washington Suburban Transit Commission, WSTCMaryland.org. They've contracted with KFH to do a paratransit study in Prince George's County. And as yet, their KFH has not scheduled meetings with the community. So some of the Georgia
So your
members
voice is
of
breaking up.
the AAC and the veterans. Also, March 26th, Wednesday, March 7th at 12 p.m. Master Draft Master Plan of Transportation, Go Prince George's. 6 o'clock in person, March 26th. 12 o'clock in person, March 27th, both at 1616 McCormick Drive, Largo, Maryland. Thank you.
Okay, and Bill, if you will email me that information, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Anu. I think you can give your spiel before
Yes.
we adjourn at six.
So I just want to inform, remind that any members of the public who would like to make comments can send us an email at Metro AAC Chair at WMATA. Excuse me. WMETA.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
All right, and motion to adjourn.
One comment. You hear me? One comment.
Okay.
It is 5:59. We have to adjourn. I'm going to lose our interpreter in a minute. Go ahead. You got 1 minute.
The comment is when you use the digital reservationist, if you try to schedule more than one trip, more than one destination, it will transfer you to a live reservationist. So I think that's a fluke in the system.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that comment. All right, we are now adjourned.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.